And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations bring you Chapter 8 of The Eternal Light. This public service program is prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, is entitled The Temple of Kai Feng Fu and features Paul Mann and Gregory Morton. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Dr. Samuel S. Cohen.
South of Shanxi Province, north of Hubei, lies the city of Kaifeng Fu in the province of Hunan. Past the city flows the turbid water of the Huanghu, the sluggish, silt-laden Yellow River. Since the days of Yu the Great, there have been terrible alternations of flood and drought and famine and bandits. But in the year 1642, the year of our story, there was also a scholar and a soldier of the sect Chao Ching Chao, one called Li Kuang Tian. And on this day, there was much happiness in the house of Li, for this was his marriage day.
I can't see anything.
Shh.
I want to see.
Be still.
I want to see. Ow!
Don't say another word.
Shh. Bridegroom.
Yes?
Bridegroom. Place the ring. What's the matter, Li?
I seem to have misplaced it.
Li.
Yes, May?
The little pocket inside your sleeve.
Huh? Oh. Oh, of course. Here's the ring, Rabbi.
Bridegroom, place the ring upon the forefinger of the right hand of the bride.
Yes, Rabbi.
Now repeat after me. Behold thou, May, the daughter of Hao Liang Han.
Behold thou, May, the daughter of Hao Liang Han.
Art betrothed unto me, Li Kuang Tian.
Art betrothed unto me, Li Kuang Tian.
The son of Li Jung.
The son of Li Jung.
According to the law of Moses and Israel.
According to the law of Moses and Israel.
Baruch ata Adoshem Elokeinu melech olam.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, King of the universe, who hast created joy and gladness, bridegroom and bride, mirth and exultation, pleasure and delight, love, brotherhood, peace and fellowship. Soon may there be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem the voice of joy and gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and also the bride, the jubilant voices of bridegrooms from their canopies and of youths from their feasts of song. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who makest the bridegroom to rejoice with the bride. Bridegroom.
Yes, Rabbi.
This glass is a symbol of the Temple of Jerusalem. Tread on it hard and break it. So was the temple destroyed. Thus, even in the moment of your happiness, must you not forget it. Well, what are you waiting for, Li?
What?
Raise the veil and behold your wife.
Oh. Mazel
tov, Li. Mazel tov, Li.
What are you crying about, Mother?
Can't you see I'm happy? It was such a beautiful wedding.
Thus did I, Rabbi Moshe, perform a marriage service. A marriage service among the Israelites of China, the sect Chao Ching Chao of the city of Kaifeng Fu, in the year 1642. We spoke Chinese, our women bound their feet, men wore their hair in braids, and yet, in this ancient temple of Kaifeng Fu, we worshipped according to the law of Moses. Whence did we come? Some said by a silk caravan from distant Persia. Some said in the ships of King Solomon. Some said even that we were the remnants of the 10 lost tribes. Let the scholars dispute. It matters only that in the year 1642, Li Kuangtian, who was a scholar and also a soldier, took unto himself Mei, the daughter of Hao Liang Han, and prepared a house for his bride.
It's a fine new house.
You're a lucky girl, Mei.
What are you waiting for, Mei? Does he have to drag you in by the hair?
Quiet, please, everybody, quiet.
Mei.
Yes?
Mei, we can't go in before the new house is consecrated.
Honorable husband, will you say the benediction?
You see, she can't wait.
Mei, I should like you to say it.
Thank you, Lee, my husband. But that is not a usual thing.
And are you a usual bride, May? Say it, please.
Very well, my husband. Lord, who shall abide in thy tent? Who shall dwell in thy holy mountain? He that walketh blamelessly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his fellow, nor bringeth reproach upon his neighbor. Go with them, Lee. You're a soldier.
It's our wedding day, little May.
Only the first. There will be many others.
Thank you, May. Thank you.
He's here. I do not weep. I know what is written in our book of laws. In wars that are a duty, everyone must go forth. Even the bridegroom from his chamber and the bride from the wedding canopy. You see, I do not weep.
Hey, little May, truly you are the wife of a scholar.
A soldier's wife also. Go to them, Lee. Go to your troops.
Tell, what do you see from the wall?
They're withdrawing, Lee.
Which way?
Toward the south.
Come down, Tao. I want to talk to you.
Right, please.
Men, seize at the gates of man. You give orders. Give orders to guard the water. See that all the food supplies are carefully rationed. Tung, I'll expect you to take any action against hoarders in this section. If necessary, make an example.
I understand, Lee Kuang.
All right, men. Dismissed.
There's nothing to worry about, Lee. I told you they're running away.
Suppose they return, Tao.
Why, we'll chase them again.
On what? 2 days more of the siege and the food and water will be gone.
As bad as that?
Yes, as bad as that.
What are you going to do?
You take command, Cale. I'm going to see the general.
You've done good work, Lee. Kaifeng is proud of the Israelite battalion.
Thank you, sir. We're Chinese. This is where we've lived for 900 years. Like you, we're only defending our homes.
Good, good. Now, what's troubling you?
The river, sir.
They won't come that way. Our boats are patrolling.
That's not what I mean, sir.
Huh?
Suppose they use the river against us. Suppose they break the dikes and flood the city.
Yeah, absurd. They're after loot. They're going to ruin what they've come after. Maybe they would. Yeah, maybe they would at that.
That's what I thought, General.
Only we knew their plan. 500,000 lives depend on it.
Let me go, General. When night comes, I can swim across the river.
Don't be a fool. It'll cut you into little pieces.
You said 500,000 lives, General.
All right, Lee. You better go home and tell your wife.
Thank you.
Rabbi, have you seen May? She's not at home.
She's in the synagogue, Lee. The women have formed a brigade to guard the holy scrolls.
Oh, I forgot all about the scrolls.
Well, we didn't, Lee.
May.
Excuse me, my child.
Rabbi, don't go. I'd rather you stay.
As you wish, my son.
May,
I know, Lee. I know you're going. Keo told me.
May,
it's all right, Lee. I've cried already. I won't cry again.
I don't know what to say. I ought to be full of speeches. I think I'd be able to say something fine, noble.
You don't have to say anything.
I wish I could go for you, Lee. I'm an old man. I'm not worth much anymore.
Well, don't say that, Rabbi.
Well, it's true, Lee. The young and the strong go out to die, and the weak and the old remain safe behind. It's senseless. I am just a useless old man. All I can give is my blessing.
Then give us that, Rabbi.
No. What good are words?
Please. I want it also.
All right. I will give you Jacob's blessing. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the increase of thy cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, May, and thou, Li Kuang, peace to you and to your generations. With my blessing sounding in his ears, Li Kuang Tian stole silently from the gates of the city of Kaifeng Fu and swam the dark river in search of news of the enemy's plan. He slept like a hunted animal between the furrows of earth while Kaifeng waited in fear behind its ancient walls. And then Li Kuang Tian was seized by the bandits, and the city of Kaifeng waited in vain.
Honorable jailer, what do you want, prisoner?
You brought me swine flesh.
It's because I like your face. I stole it from the captain's mess. They'd shoot me if they knew.
Then eat it, please.
Oh, go ahead. I've had my share.
Thanks, but I can't eat swine's flesh.
Too bad. Stomach?
No, it's forbidden. All flesh that is not of an animal with a cloven hoof is forbidden to me.
That's queer. Are you one of these Mohammedans?
No, I'm a Jew.
Hey?
I'm a Jew.
Never heard of it.
Well, thanks for the meat, anyhow.
Wait a minute. What's a Jew?
Well, pretty hard to explain.
We've got plenty of time, both of us.
Have you heard of Christians?
Oh, sure. We killed one last week. Fine-looking man, yes, sir.
Well, a Christian follows the holy teachings of a book called the Bible. So do the Jews. In fact, a Jew called Moses had a little to do with the Bible.
Hmm?
Isn't it clear?
Oh, of course it's clear. You take me for an ignoramus? Now go on and eat some of this meat. Fine stuff. I killed it myself.
Hey, prisoner! What's that? What did you call me?
Prisoner.
You sick? I'm the jailer. You're the prisoner.
Am I?
You're absolutely right, you are. Why, you're locked up. You can't go anyplace. I see to it.
Can you go anyplace?
Hey?
Can you go any place you want to?
Well, don't be a fool. I've got to watch you. I'm your jailer. Yes, sirree.
I see. I can't go any place.
That's the idea.
And you can't go any place.
Huh?
You have to watch me. Hello, prisoner.
Say, yes, hang it, you're right. What do they think they're doing to me? Who do they think I am?
You joined to be a bandit, not a prisoner.
That's right. They can't do this to me.
Not a fine bandit like you.
That's right. I'm not going to stand for it. I'm not going to be a prisoner. Where are my keys? I'm getting out of here. Who do they think they are? They think I'm a fool? Come on out. We're both going to be free.
Lee Kuang Chen escaped, but there was still no gladness in his heart. For 500,000 men and women waited behind the besieged walls of Kaifeng for a message. And then one night, while he lay hungry and cold outside the tents of the enemy, eyeing the warmth of the campfires, listening to the laughter of the men, he heard...
No use losing more men.
That's what I say. Let's break the dikes.
Huh?
Break the dikes.
Yeah. Yeah, serve them right.
When?
Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Yeah. We'll plan it carefully.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's too bad, though.
Hmm?
All those fine, fine women.
Hmm? You know what they say. Fortunes of war.
You've got to help me.
I?
Old woman, you've got to help me. I must reach Kaifeng.
Go away.
Lives depend on it, old woman.
Am I stopping you?
No, my hunger is. I can't go further without something in my belly.
Then you've come to the wrong place. There's no food here.
If it's money, I've got silver.
Keep your silver. It's no good to me.
Please, please, old woman, I need strength to swim the river. I haven't eaten for 5 days.
In China, that's not a long time to be hungry.
Old woman, please, I'm desperate. 500,000 people are desperate.
There is no food in the house.
Here, that's all I have.
I have nothing.
Are you telling the truth?
By my ancestors.
There's water boiling on the fire.
That's all there is. Just water boiling.
Uh-huh. Old woman.
Huh?
Do you have a pudding stone?
What's that?
A pudding stone.
Are you joking?
No, not at all. It's a fine recipe. You see that stone there? There, that's a pudding stone.
This one here?
That's right, of course. You just drop it in the boiling water. It'll make a delicious pudding.
Well, drop it in like this?
Uh-huh.
How do I know when it's done?
Well, you can smell it now. Smell it?
Well, it does smell like...
If only we had a little sauce, it would bring the flavor out.
I seem to remember a bit of sauce. There it is.
Oh, good. Now we'll stir it. There, you smell that? Isn't that good? It's too bad, though. We had a bit of onion in this.
There's a bit of onion behind the pot.
Oh, good.
This old head forgets.
And some rice, perhaps? A very small cupful.
Two cups full. Under the fat.
Quick. Drop them in. Now, just smell it. Good, huh?
It does smell good, doesn't it?
Oh, this will be the most wonderful pudding stone soup you ever tasted. It's an old Hebrew recipe. But quickly, old woman, quickly. I haven't time.
Smells wonderful.
Now, if we only had a bit of fish. Too bad, huh?
Right under the bamboo leaf.
Ah, you're a brilliant woman. Drop it in. I can hardly wait.
What a smell. Better than incense.
Wait till you taste it. Oh, woman, quick. Quick, take it out of the pot. I've got to get to Kaifeng.
Lee Kuang Chen left his silver and his hunger and the pudding stone in the cottage of the old woman. There was strength in his body now for the swim across the Yellow River. The water was cold. The silk choked his eyes, but he did not stop swimming. We opened the gates of Kaifeng Fu Foreign in the dead of night, and the alarm sounded. On a cold night in the year 1642, the doomed city of Kaifeng Fu is evacuated by 500,000 men, women, and children. And when the dikes were broken by the bandits, the silt-laden yellow water of the River Huang Hu spilled angrily over an empty city. Had receded, the survivors of the siege of Kaifeng Fu returned, and among them the people of the Israelite sect, known to them as Chao Ching Chao, and an old man, and a hero's wife, stood among the ruins and surveyed a dead city.
Take my shawl, Rabbi. It's cold.
No, my daughter.
Please, Rabbi.
Temple is gone. The 13 rolls of the Pentateuch, the gold-lacquered cases which enclose them, all gone.
We'll replace them, Rabbi.
There are some things which cannot be replaced, Li Kuan Chen.
Only life, Rabbi. And we've still got that.
But the temple is...
It will be rebuilt. How many times has it been destroyed, Rabbi? Flood, fire, but it rises again. It rises as the books arise, as the word arises. And even though we die, Rabbi, the word remains.
Forever, Li Kuan?
Yes, May. The word remains forever.
Copies of the script you have just heard, including the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting a brief talk by Dr. Samuel S. Cohen, well-known rabbi and professor of theology at the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, Ohio. Dr. Cohen speaks to you from Cincinnati.
College are 59 Chinese manuscripts consisting of sections of the Pentateuch, rituals, and records. They represent most of the remains of the once flourishing but now vanished synagogue of Kaifeng Fu. That synagogue was built in 1163 and was reconstructed several times thereafter, following inundations and other disasters. In its form, ornaments, and equipment, it resembled a Chinese temple. It was a structure 60 by 40 feet. Together with other communal buildings, it covered a space of from 300 to 400 feet by 150 feet, containing four courts which proceeded from east to west. The place bore the name Temple of Purity and Truth. In the center of the synagogue stood a kind of pulpit or chair of Moses, from which the Torah was read. On a tablet in front of it was inscribed the emperor's name with a prayer that he may live forever. From the dome above were suspended the Hebrew words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," and other appropriate verses. On a table by the door, at the east end, stood six candelabra, a vase for incense, and a tablet recording the kindness of the emperor who directed the burning of the incense. At the western end, that is directed toward Jerusalem, on an elevation stood the house of heaven, or ark, with steps leading up to it on both sides. Within it were deposited 13 scrolls of the law. Nearby were also two tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments in letters of gold. The Chinese Jews so thoroughly assimilated themselves to their surroundings that they were indistinguishable from their neighbors in language, dress, and manners. Only in religion they stood out from the rest. They were on their guard against idolatry, zealously professed the unity of God, observed the holy days, koshered their meat, and generally conformed to rabbinic teaching. About 1800, their last rabbi died, with the consequent disappearance of all knowledge of Hebrew and of Jewish tradition. The community rapidly disintegrated. Public worship ceased, and personal observance fell into neglect. Ruined by civil disorders and floods, the impoverished people sold their venerable synagogue piece by piece to the Mohammedans and disposed of their monuments and manuscripts to the Protestant missionaries. Though the light of Judaism died out in Kaifeng, a glimmer of hope still lingers on. When Mr. David Brown visited the survivors of this orphan Jewish colony in 1932, they grieved for the religious spirit that went out of their lives and asked for a school that their children might learn the meaning of their Jewish past and walk in the ways of their forefathers. May their prayer not remain unanswered when peace will be restored to the world.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen. Cantor David Putterman and the choir now sing Adonai, Adonai, O Lord our God, a traditional prayer. I've just heard Chapter 8 of The Eternal Light. The script was written by Morton Wishengrad and featured Gregory Morton and Paul Mann. The music was composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Henri Nosco. The liturgical music was sung by Cantor David Putterman in the choir, and Dr. Samuel S. Cohen was heard speaking from Cincinnati. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leder. Write for free copies of the script to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This program has been a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and was prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This program came to you from New York City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.